Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Here's one of my favorite General Jim Mattis quotes. Quote, I don't lose any sleep at night over potential for failure. I can't even spell the word. End quote. The man believes in being successful, and he's got a good record. Well, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. It's trying to be summer here, Skip. You doing much outside?
Well, it goes from like snow to 70 degree rain, back and forth, back and forth. You know, I guess they call it a sprinter because it's like part spring and part winter, and I can't figure out what it is. I just call it lousy weather, but I'm hoping for spring, Colonel. I want to be out there, you know, mushroom hunting. I love to hunt mushrooms every spring, so I'm looking forward to it next week.
It's not very dangerous mushroom hunting, is it?
No, it's not very dangerous at all. Unless you're hunting the giant Sasquatch Bigfoot mushroom, then, I mean, they weigh like 200 pounds. You got to be careful.
I imagine they're easy to spot.
Yes, they are. They are. Stevie Wonder could find those mushrooms.
Okay, here's what we have for you today. A news comment by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss the invasion of our southern border. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. General Paul Mock is going to join us then to talk about how our National Guard is helping our allies around the world. Then retired Navy Captain Tom Burke is going to discuss when and where our nation should fight. And veteran Chiquino Pastista will cover healing for veterans and first responders.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom, and we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
The echo of excited voices bounces off the arch ceiling of a blue and orange gymnasium in Lviv, Ukraine, as dozens of volunteers pool around tables. Every day, Ukrainian officials sit hurriedly, scribbling down names and details, waving to the next recruit to step up. There isn't much time. Hundreds more potential fighters are already waiting outside for the chance to join, some returning day after failing to make it through the lengthy line. The ranks of Ukraine's 25 regional territorial defense forces have surged since Russia began its invasion. As a reservist branch of the Ukrainian armed forces, this regional battalion was designed to be deployed as a last line of defense against invading Russian troops if the national military is unable to hold the line, an outcome that had already happened in some destroyed towns in the north, east, and south of the country. In western regions like Lviv, the new home of hundreds of thousands of displaced people fleeing the devastated east, militia recruitment centers are buzzing with new recruits and nonstop training sessions. Gingerly handling a rifle or bazooka thrust into their arms by an instructor short on time, recruits at the gym pause to feel the weight and shape of the new weapon before looking down to make sure their fingers are positioned to pull the trigger. Most of the men and women of the Territorial Defense Forces have never shot a gun before and are expected to learn quickly. The recruitment center has held training sessions for new fighters all day, every day since the war started.
It makes great sense to support a nation whose citizens love it enough to fight for it, to fight even with minimal training. And I'll bet they go through a lot of ammunition.
President Biden has called Russia's war on Ukraine a genocide and accused Putin of war crimes. But his administration has struggled with how much intelligence it is willing to give the Ukrainian forces that are trying to stop the Russian military. Since the war began in late February, the Biden administration has made multiple changes to a classified directive that governs what U.S. agencies are supposed to share with Ukraine. Much of what we collect is shared, some is not. Where the line is drawn depends on protecting the sources and methods of the intelligence, but also trying to limit the risk of escalation with a nuclear-armed Russia. The latest changes occurred when our intelligence officials lifted some geographic limits on the transfer of actionable information, the kind of information used in minute-by-minute decisions on the battlefield. The shifts in the intelligence rules reflect the administration's changing calculations of what Putin might consider escalatory. We are also trying to step up support to Ukrainian forces, the forces that have surprised much of the world in how they have held back Russia while remaining undermanned and outgunned.
We have to be careful about sharing intelligence information that might compromise undercover sources. That said, we need to give Ukraine what they need to succeed. They're the ones being attacked by Russia, and we need to help them win.
A bipartisan group of our lawmakers recently visited Taiwan, defying threats from the Chinese government. Lawmakers from both the House and Senate landed in the country to a warm welcome from the Taiwan president. The Chinese government released a statement condemning the visit. The lawmakers are among the most high-level U.S. officials to visit Taiwan. Mainland China argues Taiwan is a rogue region of China and not an independent country. We have tenuously respected that designation for decades, even while sending military aid and occasional visits from our officials to support Taiwan. Fears that China may move to invade Taiwan have risen in recent years, thanks to China's increasing aggression in the region, including frequent Air Force flights near Taiwan's airspace. The issue has also been highlighted thanks to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Observers say Russia's invasion may embolden China to take action on its own.
This is an awkward situation, but the Taiwanese people deserve freedom, and we should do all we can to support them. I'm surprised that China hasn't attacked them by now.
Airmen and guardians who undergo fertility treatments to start families can take up to 35 days off from their duty station under a new policy unveiled by the Department of the Air Force, which also oversees the Space Force. The directive would grant the time off, which doesn't count against the service member's earned number of leave days, if they undergo treatment at one of six military medical facilities. Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall praised the policy update. The 35 days are considered permissive temporary duty, which means service members must cover the cost for travel, food, and lodging while receiving treatment, but their time off won't go against their leave days. The policy update allowing leave for infertility treatment is the latest Department of the Air Force directive aimed at more progressive changes accommodating women and families in service.
This is a very nice thing to do, but the purpose of our military is to be combat ready and deployable. The Chinese, Russians, and Iranians are strong militarily and are real threats. Our military is as weak as it's been in decades. So how does this nice thing make us more combat ready?
Activists and veterans gathered recently outside the main gate of Naval Medical Center Portsmouth to protest training done there that result in the death of pigs. One Army veteran doctor who once trained on a live goat said the method of using live animals as training tools is outdated and ineffective compared to modern simulations. Quote, when seconds count and you want to have that muscle memory, the muscle memory is there with a simulator that is a person, not an animal, said Dr. Robert DeMuth and supporter of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Live tissue training involves sedating an animal and inflicting wounds that are then treated and then humanely putting down the animal before it wakes up.
As a guy who has been treated by medics in combat, I found them well trained. Whatever technique they use for training is fine with me. That's what our senior medical people decide. I love our medics. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure our nation is well run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with General Paul Mock. At ease, troops. Take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Our newest sponsor, FreedomOneCoffee.com, is offering you 15% off your first purchase with the promo code FREEDOM. I urge you to check out this online coffee company today. Not only do they roast your coffee fresh, but they also have the best-looking coffee packaging I've ever seen, all of which was designed by a proud Marine veteran. Their website is easy to use, and they have options you cannot find anywhere else, including bourbon and Cabernet barrel-aged coffees at freedomonecoffee.com. This coffee is for the hardworking, freedom-loving American like you. The company is owned by a hardworking Army officer and his wife. Their coffee is flying off the shelves everywhere they retail it. So again, I urge you to visit freedomonecoffee.com and enter the promo code FREEDOM at checkout for 15% off this amazing product owned by an amazing soldier. Freedom, the number one, coffee.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Criminals love the cover of darkness. It hides them and provides a tactical advantage and cover for them to launch an attack. Avoid dark alleys and unlit parking lots. When possible, always park under a light and avoid areas with a reputation for high crime. Remember, if you can't see the bad guy, then you can't avoid his ambush. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Day 3 Creation is a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products. Our Get Relief, Give Relief program sees that 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing service dogs at no cost to disabled veterans to help restore their physical and emotional independence. Giving is an expression of our thankfulness and praise to God as we recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers, and it's good. I eat it and love it. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. I've read that the Texas governor is busing all illegal aliens who enter into his state to Washington, D.C. I love that idea. All the illegals, the thieves, the dope smugglers, the sick people, oh, and the terrorists get to go to our nation's capital where their entrance to our nation was approved and facilitated. All Texas has to do is have a very large fleet of buses, as thousands of people are reported to be en route over the next few months. However, what happens when they arrive in D.C.? Who's giving them food and shelter when they arrive? Where do they go to get the money to go elsewhere, as the media and White House reports that D.C. is the interim stop to other places in our country? More questions. Does anyone really believe that people, including young children, are walking thousands of miles from Central and South America to get to our southern border? The pictures of people supposedly walking to the border rarely show them with backpacks, tents, or sleeping bags. And how does an army march? How does it walk? On its belly, according to a guy who should know from experience, Napoleon. How are they getting food? If people really are walking that far, how is it that most of the mature women are still overweight when they get to our border? Hey, if they were walking 1,000 miles in a couple of months, they'd be thin. Look at pictures of the late 1800 pioneers. There wasn't an ounce of fat on any of them. From Mexico's southern border to our border is about 1,100 miles through rough country. Wagon trains during our 1800s Western expansion averaged 2 miles an hour, and they generally traveled 10 hours a day, or 20 miles. And they took at least one rest day per week just for the animals, never mind the people. And, oh yeah, there was weather and terrain issues along the way, too. Equating that to people walking from the Guatemalan border to the USA, it would take 56 days nonstop to walk that distance. The food needed was about 1,500 calories per day per person just to power the walking. Never mind the calories needed to maintain the rest of the body functions, say another 1,000 calories per day. So where are these people getting 2,500 calories per day? They're certainly not hunting or foraging for it. This would slow them down, and it would also strip the countryside of plants and animals. And with millions of people that have covered the ground already, there wouldn't be much left by now. I'm sure the local Mexicans would protest the reduction of those resources because it would deny them the means of feeding themselves. So what does 2,500 calories look like? Well, power bars average about 250 calories each and weigh 2.4 ounces. That's for plant protein, starch, and sugar with a few vitamins. That's 10 power bars or a pound and a half per day for each person walking. So for the trip, that's 56 pounds of calories per person to be carried. How do they do that, given the lack of backpacks? Oh, and water. A normal human requires a half gallon of water per day while just sitting around. Walking 20 miles ups that to 1 to 2 gallons per day. Are all of these millions of people drinking from creeks, streams, and rivers that are notoriously contaminated in Mexico, plus being few and far between? If they were, many of them would be dying from dysentery and cholera by the thousands. But that's clearly not happening. They're getting clean water from somewhere, so who's supplying it? Oh, and I left out bathing. Well, it's not the cartels. They don't care if you live or die as long as they get paid. So 56 pounds of compact food and, say, 2 gallons of water, 8.2 pounds per gallon, you might not find good water every day. So that weighs a total of about 72 pounds, not including a backpack, tent, sleeping bag, and other tools, not including cooking pots, change of clothes, and various other things for each person. That's a load that elite military troops have carried since the time of the Romans. Ours have done that in several wars. I don't know how many average Americans could do this, but common everyday third worlders? Not a chance. If you're carrying dry beans and brown rice, more traditional foods from Central and South America, the pounds of food almost doubles because the calories per pound drop substantially, and you have to have more water to cook it with. Could you or your child carry that over 1,100 miles? Hey, how about just 20 miles on the first day? There's a good reason the pioneers used big wagons on their westward migration in the 1800s. These people couldn't possibly be walking 1,100 miles from Guatemala or anywhere south of there to our southern border. What is happening here? How could it not be a planned invasion of some kind? Why isn't this being researched or publicized by our government, by our military? How about some people in the media or some independent journalist? These questions don't even delve into the moral, constitutional, and political questions involved, although all of them are clearly moral, constitutional, and politically related. And those are my questions and comments for today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
In a new congressional proposal, the Department of the Air Force is pumping the brakes on creating a National Guard or Reserve component for the Space Force, opting instead for full-time or part-time military personnel. The legislative proposal, which was submitted to Congress earlier this month and approved by Air Force Secretary Frank Kendall, seemingly would combine the Space Force's active duty and reserve elements. A spokesman said, quote, "The component proposal is a new approach to managing reserve component forces by merging what has traditionally been called active duty forces and reserve forces into a new component that provides full-time and part-time service options." Kendall's proposal is the first definitive move to settle the debate that's been raging since the creation of the service about whether the Space Force even needs reserve forces. And General John Raymond, the Chief of Space Operations, has spoken publicly about the full-time and part-time concept as a way to recruit more talent from the private sector. He said, quote, "We would be giving opportunities for people to go to the commercial industry, to go to NASA, and then come back. Maybe at certain times in their lives, if they want to have children, for example, they can go part-time for a while, then come back without having to get out of active duty and then go into the reserves." Since the creation of the Space Force in late 2019, there have been several attempts by military leaders to establish a reserve or National Guard element for what is the smallest military service. I have less than 6,500 military personnel. Those efforts have ultimately been delayed or sidelined as lawmakers grapple with the costs and the logistics it would take to create another element of the National Guard. Additionally, President Joe Biden's White House has not supported the efforts. The White House Office of Management and Budget issued a statement late last year saying it was, quote, "strongly opposed to any efforts to create a Space Guard component." In a statement, they said, "Establishing a Space National Guard would not deliver new capabilities. It would instead create new government bureaucracy, and the Congressional Budget Office estimates it could increase costs by up to $500 million annually." Personally, I think this is really short-sighted. Reserve forces would give the Space Force great surge capabilities, which I don't think having part-time forces would give them. Now, although the Coast Guard is also a very small service, in fact, smaller than the New York City Police Department, reservists are used every year for surge operations, from everything from having additional personnel during the busy summer months to national disasters such as hurricanes. I fully expect this discussion is not over, and I'm sure it will be brought up again as Congress works on the 2023 defense budget. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Foreign Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoyed that. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss how our nation's National Guard supports our allies with General Paul Mock. Then we'll talk with Captain Tom Burke about how we should pick the wars we fight. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break, do another 30, then stand at ease. My fellow patriots, in these troubling times, it is more important than ever for us to take care of our fellow Americans. That's what Patriot Food stands for, U.S.-only grown foods. When you make an online purchase, you are supporting a U.S. farmer and our great veterans every time. Don't mistake Patriot Foods for survival food. This is an American farmer brand. Visit patriotfoods.com and click Shop Now today. That's patriotfoods.com and click Shop Now today.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show General Paul Mock. Before retiring, Paul was a major general in the Army Reserves and a Los Angeles police officer. He's a lot of insights into stopping all kinds of bad guys. So welcome back to the show, Paul. Glad you could join us.
Hey, thanks, Denny. I'm glad to be here this morning.
Paul, start by sharing a bit about your time in the military. When and why did you join? What were some of your assignments? And talk a little bit about your time in the Los Angeles Police Department.
Sure. I got commissioned in 72. Some of the listeners probably weren't even quite born yet, and some weren't. And some, like you, were already on the road. Went through ROTC at the what used to be Claremont Men's College in Southern California. Went off to infantry officer basic course at Fort Benning, thinking I was on the road to rotary wing flight school. And the RIF from Vietnam was occurring, and they said, we don't really need a lot of people. So I opted to join the reserves. I started out in the Cal Guard and was an infantry guy, mech infantry. And then after a while, I transitioned over to the Army Reserve and got into special forces, became a SF qualified officer, which was really fun. I did that for about 5 years in a PSYOPS battalion command. And then basically I moved on to logistics, and kind of my culminating assignment was theater support commander of the theater support command over in Kuwait and Iraq, and also did a stop in Bosnia, Herzegovina in 1996. So I was blessed to be able to do that and have a near full-time career for much of those 36 years, and then also be blessed to have a job I loved with the LAPD. I did that for 25 years. I retired from that in 1998. It seems like a long time ago now. But I worked mostly street assignments. I worked vice, some crime suppression stuff all over the city, and then ended up at training division for my last 4 years or so. I hear a lot of people say they don't like their jobs. I was blessed to have two careers that I couldn't wait to go to work. So that's enough about me, I guess.
Hey, that works. When we were talking recently, you mentioned that most of the state National Guard units in our country, almost all of them, had support relationships with foreign nations. I knew a little bit about this, but I had no idea how large the program was. Can you give us an overview of this and talk about it?
Yeah, I sure can. And Denny, I've been familiar with the state partnership program, or we'll call it the SPP, for quite a while. And before we scheduled this interview, I read an article which is germane to today's topic, and I'd like to take a few minutes to summarize it. It gets at the heart of the SPP. But before I get to the highlights of the article, I did communicate with Major General Dave Baldwin, the Adjutant General for the state of California. And I knew him through my assignment as National Chair of ESGR. And it was a pretty lucky coincidence that he's still there. And I don't think he's going anywhere. He's doing a great job from everything I hear. But his staff provided me with some highly informative information that I'd like to review with you now. And a special thanks to Lieutenant Colonel Brandon Hill, who communicated with me freely. He's their Director of Public Affairs up there. So what I have for you is the best up-to-date info that I can get.
So please do, Paul. Go ahead.
Okay. The SPP is a DOD-funded program where the National Guard states partner with foreign countries to establish bilateral military relationships. The California National Guard has partnered with both Ukraine and Nigeria. They have partnered with Ukraine for almost 30 years. They have conducted about 1,000 joint training events, exchanges, and exercises with the armed forces of Ukraine. And to me, just those metrics are kind of the years involved and the number of exercises is kind of staggering.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And since 1993, they've conducted hundreds of mill-to-mill events, exchanges, joint exercises, and bilateral training with Ukrainian partners. And some of those lines of effort or key areas focused on over the years are the non-commissioned officer or NCO development programs, joint staff planning in the military decision-making process. And you remember, well, that was beat into our heads over the years as the staff guys. Installation and base operations, maintenance sustainment programs, and they developed the Humvee maintenance program, and I'm sure there were others. The Ukrainian Air Force interoperability, which was fighter tactics, personnel recovery, airfield security, tower operations, emergency management, and civil support, military or MP training, strategic communications and public affairs joint training. And if I may add here, boy, as we've seen, I think their best strategic communicator is President Vladimir Zelensky. He's just all over the place and really a solid voice for Ukraine right now.
You know, you just shared something that I'll bet nobody in the country knew, and it's our relationship with Ukraine for some time. Keep going, Paul. This is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't end there. They've done behavioral health and medical program support and development, English language immersion training, other programs, exercises, and major events participated in the annual rapid Trident exercise with the Armed Forces of Ukraine Land Forces and National Guard of Ukraine. So I had to ask myself, because I'd not heard of it, been retired for a while, but so what is rapid Trident? It's the U.S. Army Europe and U.S. Army Africa participate in the exercise at the International Peacekeeping Security Center in Ukraine. So they have 12 allied partner nations with 6,000 service members to enhance readiness. And I think the last time they did this was a couple of years ago because it probably COVID interfered with it, but it's still on the books as a valid exercise. Their Clear Sky exercise, which they did in 2018, and that's a joint Air Force exercise with the California Guard and Ukrainian Air Force, and they had 50 aircraft from 8 member NATO nation states to increase interoperability. And they conducted in the western portion of Ukraine and commemorated 25 of collaboration between the Ukraine and the Cal Air Guard. And I think that's kind of a staggering, impressive number right there. They've been doing this for 25 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah, isn't it?
So, wow. So Ukraine isn't just a country that suddenly popped up a couple of days ago or in February when they got attacked and we had to start finding out about them. We've had a good relationship with them for
Yes, sir. And it goes on, the Bilateral Affairs Officer Program. So they have full-time California service members. And at the time of this publication, they were living in Kyiv, Ukraine running the state partnership program. And what I hear is that there are no Cal Guard guys there now. They've all had to leave. And then they do mill-to-mill events. And then pre-COVID period, they average 35 to 40 events with their Ukrainian counterparts per year. They do joint multinational training group Ukraine, and that's permanent training mission in Western Ukraine that the CalGuard supports over the last several years. And they've hosted the Ukrainian president at Moffett Airfield in September of 2021. So as we can see, the SPP is a long-term, multifaceted, broad and in-depth training and assistance program, which in this case has directly benefited Ukraine. And like you said, is, you know, we've heard about Ukraine through other things going on in the world, but never to this extent. And you know, being aware of the SPP, until I got into this, I had forgotten or not been aware of. So this is a great refresher for all of us, I think, to know that our guard units are so involved with so many countries, and especially in this topic with Ukraine, with California.
That's just awesome. I think you knew I was born and raised in California, so I knew a bit about the guard, but not much. This is awesome. Well, there's a lot more to discuss about the many great things our National Guard is doing. General Mock's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gilman, Frontline Freedom Troops. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, most days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Paul and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
$30 trillion in debt, 20 years of endless war, and veterans not able to get the care they deserve. These are some of the issues concerned Veterans for America is confronting head-on. At CVA, we aim to amplify the veteran perspective to create a better future for all Americans. But we need your help. Join CVA in shaping a better tomorrow for you, your family, and your community. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement. That's cv4a.org.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Paul Mock about how our National Guard helps friendly nations. Paul, we covered what the California Guard is doing with Ukraine. That's so incredible, and I'm so happy and proud of it. And as you mentioned, I'm sure there are no guardsmen there now. That would be a bit awkward, at least not legally. Talk about the other states and what they're doing and how they do it.
Well, yeah, as I opened up, I talked about an article that I had just read before we scheduled the interview. So if I could, I'd like to kind of summarize that because it'll give the listeners, I think, some pretty good insight. And then I'll give them some keywords so they can put it in their browser, Google or DuckDuckGo or whatever they use. And it should pop right up for them. It's an easy read, but it's very informative and it's very current.
Yeah, please do, bro.
Yeah, this was written by Jim Garamone. I hope I have his name right. March 21st, 2022. And the title is Ukraine-California Ties Show Worth of National Guard Program. And I'm not going to read the article. I'm just going to kind of hit the highlights, give you the cliff notes, if I may. When Russia invaded Ukraine with more than 150,000 troops February 24th, most people, especially President Vladimir Putin, expected a Russian cakewalk. And Denny, I have to admit, I was one of those. I just thought that they would just steamroll that country. And everybody I talked to said, oh my gosh, this is going to be really ugly. The California National Guard has had a close working relationship with the Ukrainian, with the Ukraine military and the Ukraine National Guard since 1993. That's like 29 to 30 years. This all came about as a part of the National Guard's state partnership program and is helping now that country while it's under attack. So now we jump to 1993 when Ukraine became a charter member of the U.S. National Guard Bureau's state partnership program, along with 11 other countries in the region: Bulgaria, the Czech Republic, Estonia, Hungary, Latvia, Lithuania, North Macedonia, Poland, Romania, Slovakia, and Slovenia. Each country was paired with a state, and Ukraine was paired with California. Today, there are 93 nations partnered with Guard organizations from all 50 states, three territories, and the District of Columbia. Pairing with state National Guards made more sense than pairing with active duty forces. First, the militaries in these countries had missions more closely aligned with the National Guard than those of active duty forces. These militaries could be called upon to assist in disasters and humanitarian crises, just like our National Guard. Our National Guard. People of the State Guard stay in place for an entire career. So, you know, in active duty, in the active duty military, you know, usually PCS like every 3 years, probably 3 years, maybe 4 years.
Yep.
So when a partner nation calls their U.S. counterpart, they know who they're calling, and they know that they know the person on the other end of the line. There's great value in that. In 1984, General Baldwin, when he first joined the Guard, the Cal Guard, he and his wife hosted a Ukrainian family in California for training under the program. So that's a lot of history there, longevity and connectivity. When Russia invaded Ukraine in late February, many believed the Ukrainian military was not up to the task. Well, General Baldwin says, we knew they had radically improved their ability to do kind of Western-style military decision-making, and he was impressed with their ability at the national level to work through some of the challenges we thought they still had in terms of logistics and command and control. Per General Baldwin, I think their best story is with their Air Force. Their Air Force is a lot better than anyone thought, except for the California Air National Guard, who knew these guys were pretty good. So California Guardsmen worked alongside NATO trainers and trainers from the active duty forces, especially after Russia first invaded Ukraine in 2014 and illegally annexed the Crimea. Training areas in Ukraine and California, so they come to CONUS as well, the Army Guard and Air Guard in California worked to develop Ukrainian capabilities. If they did not have the capability, they worked with other National Guard units in the United States to make sure Ukrainian service members got the training they needed. So they were reaching out all over the country to identify when they identified a training need. And if California couldn't provide it, they went out and found somebody that could.
That's really professional, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I'm just in awe at the Cal Guard and a lot of these state National Guard units, because they do so much more than what people are aware of. You know, they've gone way past the stigma of the weekend warrior thing. I mean, these guys are off on exercises and training for mobilization all the time. But the training in Ukraine is more than small unit tactics. The Guardsmen worked in logistics and sustainment, the lifeblood of any military. And, you know, I always appreciated that, you know, when I was growing up through the military. But when I got to level like theater support commander, man, I was just amazed at the professionalism and the success of our logistics personnel, quartermasters and ordnance guys and the medical people. I mean, you name it, all the classes of supply. They're just such pros. And they just kept our forces with the quantities of sustainment that they needed just about without fail.
You know, I'm so impressed that, you know, my final assignment was an advisor to the Michigan National Guard, and I knew they had an overseas thing, but I had no concept of how big the whole thing was. This is grounds for us to be really, really proud of our National Guard. Isn't
yeah.
Paul, we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Okay. But let me jump to General Boglin said that within a half an hour of the Russian invasion, he'd been getting calls from senior Ukrainian leaders. The first calls were, hey, we're under attack. And then the calls through the night were, here's the help that we desperately need. And so we all know they're calling for Stingers, Javelins, and other anti-tank weapons. But I think that the personal relationships and everything, and if I could, you know, are of such great value, especially in a situation like this. And so I would offer a few takeaways for the listeners. California, Ukraine, and Nigeria is our state partnership. Michigan, Latvia, and Liberia, Texas, Czech Republic, and Chile. And all the states have these kinds of relationships. And so I would just say that Americans should be proud of their National Guard, active duty, and reserve component warriors. They do way more than we realize. And so with that, I'm kind of, that's it for me, Denny.
You know, our goal was to cover the whole state. We're probably going to have to do this again because what California's doing, one, it applies to Ukraine, which is incredibly appropriate now. And two, the amount they did, it's not a three-sentence thing, dude. We covered a lot of serious good stuff. So we're going to have to come back and do this again and talk about some other examples going on in other states.
Yeah, I'm just so proud of our Guard folks. And I tell you, General Baldwin, Dave Baldwin of Sacramento and his team just couldn't be a more professional group. I mean, they're just on top of it.
So hey, well,
it's been a blessing, my friend.
I believe it. And a blessing for the people in Ukraine, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Paul, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your service to our nation as a soldier and as a cop. Thank you for being a friend. And you're going to be available to come back and as we finish this discussion sometime next month.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We're going to start the second hour of the show talking with Navy Captain Tom Burke about how our nation should decide when and where to fight. Then we'll talk with veteran Chino Batista from 10 Can about helping hurting vets and first responders. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag military history and our Armed America report. Troops, I'm not fond of pain and I absolutely won't use addicting products. That's why I can recommend Day 3 Creation products if you're in pain. Use the code FREEDOM when you order at day3creation.com and save 20%. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for Jumpin' Jacks. Do 50 good ones. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.